her the first time. But I pursued her. And I knew that this was the one. We dated for 6 months. We wrote letters every day. Students, what a letter is, it's a piece of paper. And you write full words, and it goes through the mail. And I remember, I got up there, and I remember I would call her every day. And if her sister answered at the first, I didn't know who it was. I wasn't sure. But 6 months into it, I still wasn't 100% sure. But I was living in Whitehall, Arkansas, and she came to visit me in a garage apartment I lived in. And I was hanging out, and it was about probably 7, 8 o'clock. She had a two-hour drive back, so she was going on her way, and I walked up to her. We went down to the car, and I already made my mind up that I was going to say these three words: I love you. I had listened to Rocky theme music. I had shadow boxed all morning. I was ready to say I love you. And it was the worst day of our dating career. She'll tell you that. We fought over a Christmas tree. How to decorate it. Because my yard sale trinkets weren't good enough. We got up there. I went down to the car. She went to her car. And I leaned in and I kissed her on the cheek. And I said, Amy, I love you. And she went, okay. That was not the response I wanted. And I remember as she was driving, students, there was a day, and you're not going to believe me, but it's true. There was a day before cell phones. And you won't believe this, but your parents still met the person they're called to marry without a cell phone or match.com. They survived. Because, listen, I began to call, and I gave her the time frame, and her sister would answer, and I thought, well, that I don't know if that's Amy or Allison. So after the first time I called, because I have said I love you and she didn't say it back, so I'm hoping she didn't hear me. Well, I call and I call and I call. Finally, Allison's going, Doug, if you call back here again, we will not answer. And I went, oh no. I said, and Allison goes, I will have her call when she gets home. And I'm in my mind thinking, it's not Allison, it's Amy. She don't want to talk to me ever again. So I started to stress eat. Y'all, I was 125 pounds that day. Look at me now. Listen, what we do is when we call somebody, we want an immediate response. God looked at Paul and he began to call him. He called him. And he set him apart. Church, if you have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and you are called to be set apart, you're called to be different. You think, Doug, you don't know my past. You're exactly right. I don't, but he does. And he considers you worthy enough to call you. Just like he did Paul. Look at what happens. This is good stuff. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says this. Just so you know, he who calls you is faithful. He's called you. Look at verse 13. 1 Timothy says, one who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an arrogant man, since it was out of arrogance that I had acted in unbelief. He begins to talk about all the things he's done wrong. He begins to say, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I acted out of unbelief and arrogance. Y'all ever met somebody arrogant? I'll be honest with you. I struggle with arrogance as far as, I don't mean to be arrogant. I'm very confident in who my God is and not who I am. And sometimes I may come across that way, and if I do, forgive me. But understand something. He looks at his life and he says, I was a blasphemer. You understand when they stoned Stephen, they stoned a guy, they laid their coats at the feet of Saul, who is now Paul. They wanted his approval. But God called him. And regardless of your past, regardless of where you've been, he will call you as well. He called him, and then look at what happens. It says, go to verse 14, or at the end of verse 13, it says, I acted in unbelief. I received mercy and grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. See, understand something. The Lord calls you, I love this, and the Lord forgives you. Ooh. Did you get that? He calls you and he forgives you. The Lord doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. You think, Doug, I don't have much to offer. You have everything you need because he's called you. And the Holy Spirit will give you what you need in that time. Your job is to be faithful. Your job is to be obedient. Your job is to seek him because he's called you. You ever needed forgiveness? Ever get in trouble with your parents, students, and you need to add, you need to say, I need forgiveness? Now, there's always a consequence sometimes, isn't there? I can remember I lied to my parents one time, ninth grade. In my ninth grade, I lied to them. I got caught. My dad came in, and my dad was a stern man. Dad walks in, and Mama walks in first, which threw me completely off. If she's coming in, either she's saying goodbye. I don't know. I'm getting scared. She comes in, and she begins to talk to me. She says, listen, we want you to know we can't trust you anymore. Oh, why didn't you just let Dad come whip me? That hurt. We can't trust you. I was like, Mom, I'm sorry. She said, I know you're sorry, son, but listen, we can't trust you. You got to earn that back. Dad walked in, and he didn't talk much. I'm in ninth grade, and I remember thinking, I'm not scared of you. He says, son, I'm going to give you a whipping. I'm in the ninth grade. I'm thinking, I'm not going to cry then. So he takes his belt off, and I start hearing that sound of the belt going through the loops. Thup, 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 thup. He's a big man. Thup, 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 thup. And he took that belt, and he would fold it and pop it, which is just pure evil. And I'm hanging on to a pillow, and I'm thinking, I will not cry. My dad, first lick, it hurts so bad. And I'm just hanging on tight, and I'm gritting my teeth, and I'm just thinking it's not going to hurt. And my dad was a smart man. He waited for the pain to slow down a little bit. It wasn't three quick hits. It was a whipping, and he would wait a little while. He wanted the blood to come back, make sure you could feel it. And I look, I kind of glance over my shoulder, and he's literally going, I'm thinking, this is not good. I start tearing up big time on that second one. And then I see the belt hang in front of my face, and I realize something's got to go all the way back around. He's going to have some momentum. He connected. I remember I went, my mom runs in, don't kill him! I'm like, it's too late. Where were you? Now, the reality of that story is my dad had consequences, but he forgave me. My earthly father can forgive me. How much more so can my heavenly father forgive me? You see, Paul was called, and he found out that there's grace and mercy to overcome your past. Listen, when you're walking in the light, the shadows are always behind you. When you're walking in the light, the shadows are always behind you. They can't distract you, and they can't determine where you go if you're walking towards the light. Paul found grace and mercy. Let's look at what it says. He goes on to say, this is a trustworthy saying. And he gets up there and he says, deserving full acceptance, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them. But I received mercy because of this, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ might demonstrate the utmost patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. You see, the Lord calls us. The Lord forgives us. This is my favorite part. The Lord changes us. He doesn't leave us where we are. He changes us. Students, you ready? You're upgrading. This weekend has been about upgrading. And you came in this weekend, and my prayer is that you don't go back all, woo, yay, go Jesus, that you go back and you are changed through the power of God. Not through me, not through your small group leader, not through Jason, but through the power of God in your life. Because he's the only one yet to make a change that will last. But you see, he's called you. He forgives you, and he'll change you. I get to travel a lot. I got to go to Ecuador. I remember I signed up for Ecuador a year out. I was going with a mission group, and I was actually going as a college. I was in seminary, and I was going as a leader to help them. Dr. Richard Ross, dear friend of mine, was going to speak, and I was going basically to take care of some things for him, but also to take care of a team of people that were going to be there. So I got trained, and during that year, my wife had found out we were pregnant with our first son, Levi, and I told her, I said, listen, I'll cancel if you want me to cancel, because our son will just be 2 months old when I leave. And she looked at me and said, no, you're called to go. So I immediately went and called my, I just wanted to call my insurance agent and make sure she didn't up my life insurance policy before she said that. I wanted to make sure it was Spirit-led. So I went, and we went to Ecuador. Now, I'm just going to tell you, when I got there, I was scared. I'm not going to lie. They fed me donkey. I'm just going to give you a word of testimony. Don't eat it. It's not good. I had a lady, a guinea pig ran out by me, and she made me pick a guinea pig out. She fed me that guinea pig. Don't do that either. It was tough, because we were told, if they offer you food, the missionary told me, he said, if they offer you food, Doug, since you're a leader, they'll offer you stuff, and you're a bigger guy. You're one of the largest human beings they've ever seen. And I looked at him and said, is that a fat joke? He goes, yep. So all this has gone on the weekend before, and he told me that if they offer me food and I don't accept it, that it will offend them. And I looked at him after that donkey incident. I said, is it going to offend them if I throw up in front of them? He goes, well, you just take it, eat it, do what you can. I said, okay, deal. First day we go to this remote village. It had rained the night before, so we couldn't get cars up to the village. We had to walk about a mile and a half. Have y'all ever been to Colorado? Y'all know how thin the area is? When you have a significant gravitational pull on your body, I struggle in the high altitudes. I walked up this mountain. My team has been there for a good 10 minutes. Finally, I just halfway up the mountain, I said, y'all gone. Y'all may be done by the time I get there. Imagine me being the largest human being you'd ever seen emerge from the woods with a backpack on, breathing, going, kids scattered. All I heard was, grande, grande, and they were gone. They would come up after they realized I wouldn't eat them, and they began to come up, and they would rub my belly, and they'd be like, grande. I needed a self-esteem boost that week, but I got up there, and they began to just kind of hang out. And I remember the first day we got back down the mountain, everybody, as soon as we got on the bus, we germ-X'd up. We were filthy. We were dirty. And we were just, oh, this is so disgusting. So we went back where we could shower and clean up. And we got back. And the last day finally came. And I remember as the bus was there, we were leaving a village. And all these kids begin to beat on the bus. And they, in English, they were screaming, don't go. We said goodbye to them. We shared the gospel with them. Many heard for the first time. Some received, some didn't. But I remember one man who received Christ. We shared the gospel in that last day. He was standing right in the middle of the aisle, very back. They wear ponchos. They're about this tall, the men are. And they're wearing these ponchos. They all carry machetes. Talk about intimidating. I mean, I'm up there with my little pocket knife. They got this big old machete. And I'm like, how you doing? Don't want to make you mad. He stood back right, staring right at me. The sermon had to be translated twice. I would speak. Someone was speaking in Spanish. We went from a Spanish translator to a Quechua translator. So I'm standing there, and I would speak, this guy would speak, and this guy would speak. This guy's staring at me with the look of death. His hands are folded under his poncho, and he's just staring at me. And I remember thinking, I don't like this situation. He began to walk towards me after the service. So I realized something. I wouldn't understand him anyway, so I just put my interpreters in front of me. I wasn't scared. was just smart. He comes up and he begins to just rattle some stuff off. And I'm thinking, this, uh-oh. And they talked for a minute. The interpreters talked with him. And then all of a sudden, they turn and say, Doug, he wants a piece of paper. Okay. So I went and got a piece of paper. And he drew the bridge illustration with the cross being the bridge across. I didn't know it, but his daughter was in my group on Tuesday. And I'd shared that with her. And she took that piece of paper home with her daddy. See, her daddy was the known drunk. Her daddy had lived a hard life. But her daddy walked down that aisle to me. And he looked at me and he grabbed that piece of paper and he drew it. And it was on a window. And he looked and he pointed and he started just pointing at the cross. And he looked at the interpreter, and the interpreter looked at me, and the interpreter had tears. The interpreter said, he wants Jesus. I didn't call that man. God called that man. I couldn't change that man. God changed that man. I couldn't forgive that man, but God could forgive that man. And God can forgive you, but you've got to be willing to respond to him. You got to be willing to say, God, whatever you want from me. Paul's life at this point in time, he has surrendered it all to him. He has said, I'll do whatever I'm called to do. Even when it doesn't make sense, I'll do it. Church, we are seeing a culture crisis right now in America because Christians aren't saying that to God. We're saying, God, do it my way. Your way will not save anyone. It's only by the blood of Jesus. And I'm amazed how many times we miss our call because we are scared people will find out about our past. You dig in my past and you'll find ugly stuff. But you know what? I don't live in the past. Just like Paul, I learn from my past. I know there's a God who forgives me. I know there's a God who changes me. And every day I want to walk more and more closely to him. Today I want to know something. Students, hopefully this weekend you got close to God. We talked a lot about prayer, didn't we? Talked a lot about accountability. We talked a lot about a lot of different things, but the one thing you got to understand, and I hope that you got it from me, you got to love the Word of God. My wife wrote me love letters, and I remember those letters. I still have them. I can tell you where they are in my house right now. Every letter she ever wrote me, I have. So y'all won't have that with text messages. I'm just telling you right now. They mean something to me. I got up there, and I remember after I told her I love you, and she said, okay. I remember I looked on the letters every time she'd write a letter, and I wasn't saying it again. It was her turn. And I would look, and I would try to look if it was in code. You know how girls write code sometimes? And I'd look and see if I could even, like a word search, I love you. I couldn't find it. And I got up there, and I remember I'd already determined that when she said I love you, I was going to look at her and go, okay. We're driving from Hot Springs. We'd been out, and we're driving Hot Springs, and we're in my truck. And she goes, Doug, we need to have a talk. And I'm thinking, if she tells me, you're like a brother to me. If she tells me that, this is a curvy road. And I can open her door. So I'm driving thinking, and in my mind I'm playing all these scenarios because I've heard it 100 times. And she goes, Doug, I need to tell you something. I'm just sitting over there and I'm white-knuckling the steering wheel. I'm getting mad. And she goes, I just need you to know something, Doug. I love you. And my response was immediate. I love you too! And it changed our entire relationship. What would happen if you actually said you loved God and responded to him that way today? What if you got excited about how he had changed your life, how he had called you, how he had forgiven you, how he changes you? What if you got excited about that? Christians, listen, it's not overwork in your life. It's an overflow of Christ onto others. And Paul got that. His life overflowed of the love of Christ because he knew where he came from. And he was so thankful for forgiveness. I close today. I get to work with a mission outreach. They work with drug rehab. I get to go there about once every probably 2 or 3 months. They'll call, hey, Doug, can you come lead worship? Or, hey, Doug, can you come speak? And can you provide a meal? Can your ministry provide a meal for us? And it's usually when they aren't having much money coming in. So I decided I would go, and they called. And last year, it was probably around February, they called and said, is there any way you can come in March? I said, sure, I'll be there. I showed up, and I walked in. Been there numerous times, and there was a guy there that I knew, like a friend. And I walked in, and Keith looked straight down at the floor. I began to talk with the guys that were in charge, and we were talking, and Keith, like if you put him on a piano, Jerry Lee Lewis can tear it up. He's an incredible, incredible musician. He looked down at the floor, and I talked to the powers that be there, and we kind of talked for a minute, and then I walked over and I went, Keith? And he looked at me and he said, hey, I'm sorry. I said, you're sorry? Man, I'm sorry you have to see me here. I said, no. I'm sorry I didn't know that you were in need. I said, man, I'm sorry that you couldn't come to me. I want you to know I love you, brother. I'm so excited that God has put you somewhere where you can hear the truth of the gospel and get off whatever struggles we have. He said, Doug, it was prescription meds. I got to the point I was stealing them from people. Got caught, and this was my only option. I said, awesome, dude. I said, I don't know what y'all's rules are, but I'm about to get in trouble, and I just hugged him. I said, dude, I want to pray for you. And I prayed for him. I got home, and I was telling my wife, and she said, you know, there were some people talking about him the other day, and she said, they were talking about stuff, and it was really not good. And I said, what'd you do? She said, well, I just turned and walked away. I said, good girl, now you go tell those people that he's getting all the help he needs. He doesn't need them helping spread his name in a bad way. So we went on. About a month and a half later, my boys and I go to McDonald's to eat on Friday mornings, and I'll be honest with you, we go to McDonald's at Walmart for one reason. We try to figure out when people are rushing in. We know they're going in before work. We try to pick out what they're going to buy. Is it cough syrup? Is it donuts? So we all just pick, and we pick people and they run by to see what they're going to have in their buggy when they come back by. But we're sitting there, and we leave, and Keith is setting up a table out front. The Grace Mission was trying to raise some funds. They had some things that they had made, and Keith looks at me, and when he makes eye contact with me, he looks down. I went, dude, you're no better than I am. We're both sinners saved by grace. Stop turning your eyes when you look at me. Dude, God called you. God forgives you, and my God is going to change you. Well, my boys went up to him, and both of them hugged him. And as Levi and Lane were walking off, another guy came by that knew Keith, and Keith looked at him and said, hey, listen, you know me from my past. Let me tell you about my future. Stop living in your past. Paul did. He started living for his future. Live now to live again. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Just kind of bow your heads, close your eyes. The band's going to begin to play. Ephesians 4:24 says, you put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Put on the new self today. Walk knowing that you've been changed. Now, I just want to know, with a room this full, there's got to be some people who would just say, Doug, my past haunts me. It haunts me. I'm going to ask you not to look around, just be real. If that's you, just kind of wave your hand at me. Hands all, yeah. Just, yeah, I see that, yeah. Just hands all over the room. Yeah, my past haunts me. Decisions I've made, yeah. Just be honest. Wave your hand at me. That's awesome. You can put them back down. And I want you to know something. My God's big enough to forgive you your past. You see, you clean things up that you want to use again. And he wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He cleansed Paul. He can cleanse you. But you've got to accept the call on your life. You got to be willing to say, God, I need you. Adults, I'm going to ask you to look up at me for a minute. I love students. I do. God is just a soft part of my heart for students. But I'm scared to death for them. This society is so tough, and so many of them, they don't have mamas and daddies who push them closer to Christ. And I'll just tell you right now, it destroys my heart. I just love them so much, and I know that they need help. They need somebody to come alongside and lock arms and say, I love you. Somebody ready for this? Somebody whose life is not perfect. Somebody who knows what it means to make a mistake and can look at them and say, listen, God's big enough to forgive you. Forgive yourself. They need to know by example what it means to follow even when it's tough. There are teenagers here that are going to go home today and they're not going to have a mama or daddy. Tell them they love them. Or hug them. This morning I'm going to ask you, be the hands and feet of Jesus. Never know when one of them's this close to saying, I want to end it all. You didn't come to church today just to punch a time card, folks. I'll just tell you. You came to church today to let God use you and to hear His truth. Now, today, I'm asking you to invest in another generation. Because I pray they invest in my kids' generation. So I'm going to do all I can to invest in theirs. Some of you adults, you're hurting today. I get that. And we're going to offer a time in a minute for you to come and kneel and maybe come grab the pastor by the hand and pray with them. But I'm going to ask you to do something. I want to ask you if your family's here. I'm going to ask families to come get their teenagers. And you may have some teenagers here that your kids run with that their family's not here, then you get them too and you pray for them and you ask God, call them, God, forgive them, God, change them. I don't want teenagers doing things I did, because I want to stand in the gap for them, just like Paul was standing in the gap for so many. So I challenge you, church, do something different. Students, look up at me. Look up at me. Nudge your neighbor. Some of them are passed out. Listen. Some of you made decisions this weekend for Christ. It's okay to come and let people know that this morning. Make it public. Let people know the church that God moved in your life. It's okay. You can do that. If you ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, grab your pastor, grab Jason by the hand, and say, listen, I just want everybody to know that I'm not ashamed that God is my Savior now. Okay? It takes courage, but do that. Let them know. Let them rejoice with you. Hey, look at me, students. I love you. I love you. But what you do with what we did this weekend will only matter let God work in your life. I could care less if you ever remember my name. I pray you remember I pointed you to Jesus. He alone can save. Church, thanks for letting me be here. What we're going to do now is I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you in just a minute, I'm going to pray and say amen. When I'm done, I'm going to ask you just to move as you feel led. God may lay a student on your heart. You don't even have to know their name. And you may come to them and just say, I just want you to know, I want to pray for you. You think, Doug, that looked like mass chaos. good. Sometimes we need a little chaos in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I trust you. I'm amazed that you trust me with the gospel. I'm humbled that you even give me the chance to tell people how much you love us. I'm in awe of Jesus. You took a man like Paul. You called him. You forgave him. You changed him. And you continued to work and do that in our lives, God. Let our past no longer determine our future. Give courage for students who made a decision this weekend to not be ashamed to tell their church family today. Give courage for mamas and daddies, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas to come pray with their student at the altar. And maybe pray for others that don't have family here. Today, God, we want you to have this time to work in our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Follow God's lead.
Deeper still as you call me, deeper That this year's been a little bit different because in years past we tried to schedule DNOW and it worked out with the schools that we had a lot of students from other places that were with us. This year, for the most part, we've got some guests with us, but for the most part it's mostly our students right here because of some, we had that storm and it threw the schedule off with some schools and stuff. So God, I think, chose this year to do an amazing work in the life of just our students. Some guests got in on that. We're glad to have them with us. Amazingly, that we all lived through the weekend without getting a reverse wet willy. Okay. That's a good thing. So.